Ready.
Ready. All right. I would like to call the order, the Blue Ridge Juvenile Detention Commission meeting for Thursday, June 11th, 2020 at 10:30 a.m. And we will get some information from our legal counsel regarding the method that this meeting is being handled right now.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. So this meeting is being conducted through all electronic means pursuant to the state budget provision that allows local and regional bodies during the coronavirus emergency or any declared emergency by the governor to conduct a meeting like this when it's not practicable or safe to do it in person. So the commission made the decision to meet this way pursuant to that law. And pursuant to that law, notice has been posted for at least 3 working days, and the public has had the notice of how to link into this meeting. Just for the record, there's trouble with the commission's website today, so the link is currently not up. However, it has been up for the required at least three working days, so the public has had the ability to see that. And also pursuant to the state law budget provision, the meeting is being recorded and it is going to be posted on the commission's website as soon as possible.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, if I could just have the director just a few comments about the problem with the website. It's as unfortunate as it is and what's being done to try to address it. I appreciate that the record now is going to reflect that this is being recorded and so people can participate in the meeting. We can't participate remotely into matters from the public as a part of this meeting if anybody chose to do that.
Sure. We discovered this morning that our website is down. We've had some storms in the area, so it may have had something to do with that. It's not typical for us, and it's the first time we would have done a meeting like this where somebody had to connect through that link on the website. So we have our IT guy looking into everything, and as soon as it's back up, if there are any matters from the public, my contact information is on that website, and this will be posted on that website, and they can contact me directly if they have any questions or comments for the commission as a whole, and then I can notify all of you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yep, and Mr. Gore, I would imagine that due to the pandemic and due to the emergency and due to the matter that we're holding the meeting, that we are still going through extraordinary means to allow the public to participate, even though we've had the slight issue with the server this morning, correct?
That's right. I mean, I'm confident that the process followed by staff is compliant with state law.
Okay. Thank you. Next on the agenda, I would like to entertain if there's any matters from the public. Ms. Rossler, are there any public on this meeting?
No.
Okay. Next on the agenda, I'd like to go over the meeting minutes of January 9th, 2020. Are there any additions, changes, questions regarding the meeting minutes from January 9th, 2020? If not, I'd like to get a motion, please.
So moved. Move to approve.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion made by Mr. Walker. Seconded by Mrs. Shelton. All in favor?
Aye.
The meeting minutes from January 9th, 2020 have been approved. Is there any old business matters to discuss?
No.
Okay. Next on the agenda under new business is the April 2020 year-to-date unaudited financial reports. And I'm assuming Mr. Brill, you're gonna take this.
Yes, sir. Okay. So year-to-date through April, it looks like Blue Ridge is estimated to make around $300,000. COVID and up through April hadn't hit them as bad. They haven't had a lot of expense due to it. So I think they're looking pretty good. toward the year end right now, unless something else happens between now and end of June. Their total compensation is under $275,000. But I did want to point out in the salaries, they're under budget $199,000, and the overtime is over budget $63,000. And that's due to an error that we're working with in the Kronos system to try to get corrected, because part of that overtime wages should be up in the salaries. It's not truly should be in that bucket that it's in. But I just wanted to point out that so salaries will be closer to budget once we correct that, and then that overtime will come back in line once we fix that by, through year end. So, and likewise, FICA and VRS items are down as well, and health insurance is under $97,000. Total operating expenditures coming in over budget $14,000. That's due to the COVID expenses, and there probably will be a few more between now and June 30, but we don't expect a significant amount. Capital's on the line, in line with the budget, and total expenditures estimated to come in under budget $260,000. The revenues is estimated to come in over budget about $70,000, primarily due to interest and the DJJ block grant and programs for that. So like I said, net income is estimated to come in about $330,000 at this point. And that's the April financials.
And Mr. Gore, we don't have to have the board, just for my recollection, we don't have the board approve these unaudited financial report, do we?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Does any board members have questions, commission members have questions regarding the April 2020 financial report?
Just want to just acknowledge what I'm seeing here, since I don't see it specifically called out the way that I'm more accustomed to, is that the projected positive variance at this point, based on this report, is about $330,000. Is that right?
Yeah, about $330,000.
Because you say total net income at $338,23, and it looks like then you've got on the in the report itself the excess of revenues over expenditures of $330,000 also. So that would be the positive variance.
Yeah, positive variance $330,000. This is what I'm estimating it to come in.
Okay. And can you tell me what the vacancies are? How many vacancies currently are does the commission have?
Well, right now, as of today, we have four vacancies, two of which will be filled as of, I think, June 29th, end of the month. Two which I'm not filling. For the foreseeable future, I'm just going to hold off on those. So we had the two that I'm holding off on are two female vacancies for night shifts. And those were vacated end of February, beginning of March. And so my plan is just to not hire for those as of right now.
Are you covering that? Those two positions through overtime, or are they just not needed?
Well, our population's a little bit lower than typical because, you know, there's been several kids who've been released due to the pandemic, and the Commonwealth attorneys and the courts and the CSUs trying to work with kids in the community rather than here if any way possible. And it's also night shift, so there are ways we can kind of compensate on those shifts. The two females also, you know, we only have two female residents, and so there's three females on each night shift, so we have other people right now that can get the job done. So if we have, you know, call-ins and somebody's sick and or somebody on vacation, sometimes, you know, we might have to draft from the previous shift until the kids go to bed, but we still are able to manage avoiding overtime the majority of the time.
I'm not seeing those frozen positions reflected in your preliminary FY21 budget.
We didn't, when we did the budget, we were basing it off 36 security staff. Then the pandemic hit, and I haven't changed the budget to reflect not filling two positions because I don't want to paint ourselves into a corner where if we have several vacancies all at once that, you know, we're trying to scramble. The budget does not reflect 34 security staff. I guess if that's what you're asking. It continues to reflect 36.
Same time that we're anticipating a positive year-end variance right now of $330,000. In due in large part to vacancy savings. Position.
Is there any indication on what, I mean, obviously your numbers can fluctuate, you know, any given day, but right. With the current pandemic and how it's going, is there any talks, you know, throughout, you know, other juvenile detention centers, what this looks like moving forward and for the next budget?
Well, different localities that are operated by their city or county, you know, like Chesterfield, for example, has had to lay off some part-time staff. Some places are deciding not to fill a couple positions, sort of like we're doing right now, as long as they can, to kind of see how everything shakes out, because there's just so many unknowns about, you know, where we're going to be. Once we get to our budget, I'll update you about some of the revenues that might look a little different than when we created the budget due to a couple of our DJJ kids likely being released early. So if that answers your question, Eric, I don't know if I answered your question fully.
Oh, it does. And it seems like we may have some questions regarding the FY21 budget. So maybe we'll go to the next new business topic for the FY21 budget for discussion on that. Are there any questions or matters from the commission regarding the FY21 budget? And I guess Mr. Brill or Ms. Rossler, are you going to go through the proposal first?
Yes, I will. So on the FY21 budget, the total operating budget for FY21 is $3.8 million, which reflects a decrease of 0.6% or $24,000. Under the total compensation, that reflects a 0.4% decrease of $10,000. It's primarily due to the health insurance decreases, but there was a slight VRS increase in there. So, and moving on to the operating cost, of $799,000, it reflects an increase of 2% or $15,000, primarily due to the maintenance contracts and the telecommunications agreement. Operating capital of $52,000 is a decrease of 36%, which is $30,000. Operating capital does consist of some cameras, though, that are being put in furniture, even though there is a decrease, it still should come in line. Operating revenues reflects a decrease of 0.6 or $24,000. And under the operating budget table per locality, you can see the breakdown between Albemarle City, Charlottesville, Culpeper, Fluvanna, and Green, each of their increases and decreases versus the FY21 budget versus FY20. And those are the shares under the FY21 per locality. And then on the second page is just a further breakdown that shows your census data. And that's how we build the budget and the rates off of per locality is based off the census for the 3-year period. So you can see each locality's percentage and times by the amount of revenue that we need to make up the difference between the revenues minus the expenses. So the localities makes up that difference. Below that is the census data, once again, that shows the percentage increase. You'll see Albemarle increased by 1.1, Charlottesville went down by 4.5, and Culpeper is up about 2.3%. And the others are 0.5 and 0.6 for Fluvanna and Green. And so the director is recommending a total budget of about $850,944.
Thank you, Mr. Brill. Ms. Rossler, do you have anything you want to add for the budget proposal?
I think when we estimated the revenues, we factored in the two DJJ female residents that we have that are serious offenders and were projected to be with us for at least another year. So for that fiscal year, the revenue generated by those two residents would have been about $225,000. With the pandemic and DJJ trying to release as many kids as they're able, both of these girls are up for a judicial review, and those should both be happening within the next couple of weeks. I anticipate that they will be released early because they both have been doing extremely well with us. They've made a lot of progress. They've been, engaged in treatment, going to school, doing college courses online, all the good things. So I think that that's likely to happen. I do think, I'm pretty confident that we'll still be able to meet what we budgeted based on extra DJJ residents as we move forward. And with the vacancy savings that we typically have had pretty much every year. So I think we'll be okay. But that number might look a little different at the end of the year than we anticipated.
Are there any questions or comments from the commission members on the FY21 budget? I know Doug, you had some thoughts about those two positions.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you have questions on the revenue side as well, but I'm just not clear on what austerity measures that you are applying as it relates to freezing positions. I heard you said that it's you're just gonna kind of keep them unfilled for now and see how things go, but I don't know about the other jurisdictions, but we are freezing very important positions for the balance of the year in order to balance our budget. And I guess I'm looking to see what the commission is doing in that same regard. Maybe I'm not seeing it correctly, but I would have anticipated that you, if you made the decision to freeze positions, you reflected in the proposed budget.
I didn't catch the end of what you just said, Doug.
I would have anticipated that if you were freezing positions, it would have been reflected in the reduced compensation line on the expenditure side for the entire fiscal year. I hear what you said. Maybe I'm missing something. I'm just trying to understand the austerity that you are applying here, given the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to, are you talking about you're not seeing that in this fiscal year 21 budget that we're proposing today, or talking about the financials that we're looking at for the current fiscal year?
Well, I mean, I'm just acknowledging the fairly significant and anticipated positive year in variance, the 330, and your statement that you're not going to fill two positions. And I guess I'm not seeing that reflected in the proposed budget. Either the positions or the how it is that you are, anticipating using vacancy savings.
Right.
I get the fact that you've got some income uncertainty with respect to DJJ, so that's also, I know, a factor.
I think with the budget, because the last time we met was January, and we were going, I think all of your localities, you guys had been working with the numbers that we had, talked about at our January meeting, and I didn't want to, mess too much with those numbers until we all met. So in terms of next year's budget, and of course we were scheduled to meet in March where we were going to approve the budget. We didn't meet in March because it was canceled because of COVID, and then May was rescheduled to today, And so I didn't want to go too deep into changing up a whole bunch of numbers, knowing that you guys had already gotten your budgets approved with those numbers. But I also understand there's a lot of things happening in your localities as well with your budget. So, you know, if we want to go back to the drawing board, we can do that. Or if you're suggesting that I act more formally about freezing those two positions, I can take guidance from the commission members about how to do that.
My thought would be, and I'll let others obviously express theirs, but is that we need to approve a budget today. And changing the budget at this point on the fly is not good business. But I do think that at the next commission meeting, a more thorough review of what we now understand maybe to be the dissipated income, revenues, expenses. And I would suggest that includes freezing those two positions. They can, you know, that'd be my suggestion as one commission member. And obviously that if things change and you need them, then we can have that discussion in the future also. But I do think that some aggressive work to reduce the budget where it makes sense to do that, give some money back to your member localities. It's certainly going to help. It's going to help me. I can't speak for it. Looks like Paul Pepper might be interested in that pretty strongly too. That's just my thought. I mean, it's not. I mean, we're all trying to actually kind of do budgets now with new information. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll stop there and see if stimulated any other conversation.
Sure. Are there any other comments or questions from other commission members regarding the FY21 budget?
Kathy, how much is? Do you know the total impact of the two positions financially? How much it is?
Not exact numbers, but I'm gonna estimate. And Jeff, correct me if you think I'm way off, but with benefits and salaries, probably less than 100,000.
It depends on the type of positions. I don't know what type of what are they in your medical staff. Where is the facility?
Security and advisors.
Yeah. By the time you add benefits and everything to it, it's probably more than that. A little bit more than that. For two positions. Yeah. So probably about 120, 125 maybe.
It depends on whoever fills those positions in terms of, our base salary is 35,052.
Doug, is your question or your suggestion to one, I mean, obviously we need to move forward with the budget today for the commission and for our member localities, but is your thought to approve or move forward with the budget today and then at the next commission meeting?
Consider amending it.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, just consider amending it. There may be information that's available at the next meeting that would give us reason not to, but I do think that we need to, there's an opportunity to, for the commission staff and Jeff and the commission to kind of really dig into where we can find some austerity and under the circumstances and return some funding back to localities so we don't carry that money through the year and end up with a large fund balance next year that could be used to help fill some budget gaps this year. It's a balance as always.
So are there any other comments on the FY21 budget from commission members? If not, I will move forward with a motion for the FY21 budget.
I have one more question. Kathy, were you planning on not filling the positions for the whole year?
I think I was undetermined until we could all kind of talk further about it just because everything has been so up and down and mostly down. But not knowing what the next months are going to bring, I was finding it difficult to kind of really nail that down.
So right now you're really looking for flexibility is kind of what your initial thought was, to leave it in there but maybe not fill them at this moment until you do need them.
Exactly. Because I know it's hard to tell or hard to predict what our population is going to look like once, you know, the courts and the CSUs sort of start going back to detaining kids for probation violations and that sort of thing, or if they won't, it's still just so hard to tell
there's
what
a lot
the
of
next month
there's a lot of gray area.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yep.
So the motion I would make would be to approve the proposed FY21 budget as presented, with direction that the two identified frozen positions be kept frozen until the next commission meeting, and that at the next commission meeting that we have a formal discussion about further austerity measures for the balance of FY21 to the extent that they are appropriate and consider modifying the budget at that time. It's a lot of words, but I think you get it.
No. So Mr. Walker made a motion to approve the budget as presented with some clarifying language in there. I hear a second.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Okay. And so Kathy, I assume that doesn't tie your hands too much if those positions or else you would have spoken up.
No, we can handle
just getting to the next meeting.
Mm-hmm. Sure, we'll make it work.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, so the FY21 budget was approved, and we'll have more discussion at our next meeting. Are there any matters from the director?
Let's see. We already discussed the revenue situation with our CPP females, so there's that. I am in the process of applying for the most recent DCJS CESF grant, which could be up to $50,000. I'm hoping to cover some of the COVID-related costs that we've accrued since March, in terms of supplies like extra masks, cleaning wipes, cleaning solutions, you know, all of the things that we need in order to be as safe as we can be and keep everybody healthy. And also with doing a lot more by video or virtually with our kids, you know, because we've canceled visitation, we've canceled volunteers. Professional visits are taking place by video a lot more often. We're still, you know, having our kids meet with the psychiatrist, but by video. We still have a couple volunteers that are doing some things with the kids by video. But, you know, Zoom meetings, this is a lot more than it's ever been. And so I might also add to that grant request, a request for additional equipment in order to continue to make this the smooth process. So I'll keep you updated on that once I know more. That's due June 26th. I think DCJS is trying to make it fairly easy to access these funds and not too crazily difficult, but we'll see. So
you have an idea what you're going to submit for? Because I think it says what, up to 50,000?
Yeah, I'm still in the process of pulling everything together, but we've probably spent about 12,000 so far on COVID-related expenses. And of course, you know, the costs for masks and wipes are way more than they ever used to be, but we need them. And so, I'm trying to account for what we've spent in about the last quarter, really, and predict that same amount moving forward for the year. And so I'm hoping that, you know, we can get the full 50. I'm anticipating being up near that number when we submit the application. But I really have to continue kind of pulling everything and doing all the math to try to predict what that's going to look like. Because, you know, at the beginning of all of this, with not knowing what exactly was happening, how far this was going to go, all of the dynamics involved. You know, we have a maintenance budget, we have a medical supplies budget, we have all of those things. So, you know, it wasn't like we were breaking out this box of gloves is because of COVID and this box of gloves is because of our typical medical, you know, supply closet. But soon after this started, we started categorizing everything specifically when we would order those. So when I would order a case of wipes that became available all of a sudden and were an arm and a leg, we categorize that in the COVID expenses. And so it's easier to sort of point to this was above and beyond what we typically would have spent within our normal budget. So if it was much more short term, I think the cost would have been minimal in terms of what we've spent on COVID related expenses so far, but not knowing the end game in this, I'm anticipating that we'll continue having to buy extra for a while.
Besides the standard PPE supplies that you're purchasing, is there any equipment that you are looking into for, you know, to, you know, kind of keep maintenance of the residents and the staff there? I mean, I know there's lots of discussions about temperature machines, whether they're handheld or these, you know, futuristic walk in front of machines, and thoughts on any other equipment that you're still needing?
Yeah, I'm still doing some research about what is available and what is practical for us in our environment. We've been, you know, doing temperatures since the end of March, or maybe mid-March. We started taking temperatures pretty quickly of all staff and visitors, in terms of, you know, people here do have to come here to do like preventive maintenance or pest control and that sort of thing. So we've been doing temperatures for a long time. We've been doing masks since the early April, where everybody has to wear a mask except for our kids, because it's the staff that are coming and going. With the temperatures we're using, you know, we've already got one thermometer that seems to work the best, so that's the one we stick with. Some of the point and shoot ones don't seem to work so well. We had bought a Clorox 360 machine at the end of December. I had bought that, not knowing all of this was going to happen. And it's a sprayer that disinfects a room very quickly rather than having to wipe everything down. And we initially bought that due to, you know, just, you know, flu season. And it was a new machine that one of our vendors had told us about. I'm super glad that we bought it when we did. But the solution that you have to buy to use with the machine is impossible to find right now. So we've improvised a little bit with that. But I think I'm rambling, Eric. I'm sorry. I'm kind of going off track. There's been so much going on. But yeah, I also want to look into, are there things that are available now that we might be able to add to that list in terms of, you know, making it more efficient, like taking temperatures when you come in rather than putting on the gloves, using the mouth thing. Is there something else that we might be able to use? But I'm not 100% familiar with what those things are right now, how to access them, or if they're even available to us. But
perfect. Any other matters from the director?
Oh, yes. Okay. Let's see. So, you know, obviously, we've been taking extra precautions throughout this whole time. I won't run down the list of every single thing, but a lot of it is increased sanitizing and being careful with visitors and, you know, masks and all of that. If you have any specific questions, feel free to let me know. I can email you a more detailed list or something if you're interested. The only other thing I wanted to bring up was to revisit the idea of hazard pay for our staff. I had emailed all the commission members a couple of months ago when the jail had moved forward with doing that with their staff. At the time, just to sum it up for those who might not know, you know, Mr. Walker and Ms. Shelton were in favor of that as it aligned with what, you know, the jail board had approved. I think Eric and Mark and John didn't feel they could, you know, vote in favor of that at the time, and understandably so. Since then, I know that it's my understanding that the CARES Act funding that localities have available to them through the end of December is outlines that hazard pay is an eligible cost or item that can be accessed. So I wanted to revisit that discussion and see if this is something that we can do for our staff retro to April and cover April, May, and June. It's my understanding, and Jeff, are you still there? Your face is gone, but it's my understanding. Okay, it's my understanding that, you know, we aren't able to apply for any CARES Act funding directly. It has to be funneled through the localities. And so I think right now, with having a vacancy savings, these first few months could be covered by that. And I think it would, again, be in alignment with what the jail is doing. Department of Juvenile Justice is doing it. They're our regulatory agency, and we hold a lot of their kids. You know, our staff aren't eligible for a lot of the benefits of the coronavirus, the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, the emergency medical leave, and the emergency paid sick leave. They're not afforded that same kind of benefit because they're essential personnel. So I think that, you know, our staff are coming to work every day. They've been fabulous. There is a level of risk in doing that. And I think that it would, you know, be a great way to acknowledge that, show our appreciation for that. And, you know, with the fact that, you know, we've taken raises and the wage increase out of the budget for next year, I would recommend that we do that if I can get everybody's approval. I do want to mention that John Egerton, I did have a conversation with him by email. He was okay with me sharing this with the group. You know, I think the CARES Act funding that his locality is receiving has already been spoken for in so many words, and, you know, they know where they're going to direct it. But John was in favor at this point of moving forward with at least April, May, and June, because our vacancy savings this year could cover that portion of it. And then I think, if this is approved, if it's approved, I think it would be appropriate to revisit whether July, August, and September should be on the table as well.
So just for clarification, and then I'll open up for other commission members. Are you asking for funding to come from the current FY20? Locality funding, or are you asking for it to come from CARES funding?
Well, I don't know about the technicalities of how, what fashion it could come from the CARES funding. So I my understanding, and Jeff, if you can contribute to this, or anybody else actually, because, you know, there's so much information out there. I'm definitely not an expert in all of that. But you know, I think it would have to be that it, whatever your locality is receiving, if you approve to designate so much to Blue Ridge Juvenile Detention, we can receive it that way. Or like John was saying, their county has already designated where they want that to go. And he doesn't think that they will, you know, approve or decide to send this much to Blue Ridge, for lack of a better way to describe it. So I'm proposing that we do what I initially you know, requested before we knew this CARES Act funding would be in place, which was cover it with our vacancy savings. Does that answer your question?
No, it does. I mean, like, for me, there is a distinction because CARES funding, there's a lot of guidance that's coming out currently regarding, specifically regarding hazard pay. And, you know, there's, I've had my finance folks sitting in a lot of meetings, you know, even up to yesterday morning, and there's, you know, guidance coming out from, you know, all sorts of auditors and different finance folks. And, you know, it's specifically, and I'm looking at something here, it's specifically states regarding hazard pay, so substantially dedicated to mitigating or responding to the COVID-19 public health emergency. And, you know, as we're looking at and discussing this with lots of localities, I know there's some hesitation to use any of the CARES funding in this manner, but that, like I said, that's just my interpretation, and I'll open it up for other commission members as well.
So, like John has already, like you previously mentioned, John, City of Charlottesville has already designated their money too, so we wouldn't be able to use the CARES funding to support this initiative. Kathy, what I am in favor of, if the rest of the members are, to use the surplus from the current vacancies.
I haven't changed my position from the earlier position, and it was consistent with how we had considered the issue over at the regional jail at the time, and that methodology made sense. And the rationale that was applied that supported was the nature of the work and the confined space that they were required to work in, and the essentialness of having those workers actually show up and security in a hazardous environment. We've had to interpret that as we've looked at some options on a hazardous pandemic recognition program just more broadly in the county, and we haven't arrived at an exact solution yet. And I'm not sure what y'all are thinking about, if anything, but we're trying to be using a scaffold here, not a broadsword, and knowing that many people who came to work every single day are not exposed to the same level of risk as others. And so, you know, in that context, to the extent that we have a program going forward, we will make a distinction between those who came to work in a hazardous environment and those who came to work in a less hazardous environment. And in my thinking and my justification for support for Superintendent Coomer's request, it was the nature of their environment, not just the fact that they were coming to work during the pandemic, that was a deciding factor for me. So I'll let that be out there. And as far as the CARES Act money, we're still working through our allocation, but I think that, you know, unless there's some methodology that gives us credit, if all jurisdictions aren't going to use CARES Act, then I don't think anybody should.
So is right now, is currently Charlottesville, City of Charlottesville, Monroe County, are they also paying any hazardous pay to their staff members?
Well, as I indicated, we on Albemarle, we have not finalized our program. Not look like what the jail did. But there is a strong interest in trying to do some recognition for specific positions based on the nature of the position, the nature of the work, and the natural environment. And we would want to use CARES Act money to help pay for that. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. We're the same as Charlottesville. We're looking at ways that we could potentially do hazardous pay for all the employees. But as I think someone mentioned earlier, right now it's more specifically for public safety, human services, and there's one other category. And so that the ones who aren't really out in the field but still came into the office, we feel that we need to do something for them. So we're still working on that process as well, but we have not officially done any hazardous pay for any of our staff.
And I know we don't have, I know Ms. Rosler gave John Culpepper's thoughts on it. But Tracy, I know you're not a commission member, but maybe you could speak on what Green is looking at or what they're doing, if they're doing anything.
I can. The county has not obligated all of our CARES Act funding as well. We're in the process of trying to decide how those funds would be spent. Mark Taylor, our county administrator, has had conversations with me regarding our employees, because all of our staff has been coming to work as well. Primarily, our biggest hazard is our solid waste facility, our transfer station. We've received an extreme amount of trash over this period of time, with people being at home and cleaning out their houses, and construction or demolition and additional things that people are doing at their homes. We've had a large volume, and so all of our staff have been very dedicated there. And that has been one of his concerns, is trying to figure out a way, or is there ever going to be any funding to assist us to be able to compensate those employees? I know there is some language in the CARES Act that speaks to that, but we haven't made any decisions outside of that in our budget with ways to fund those types of pay. So currently there's not a plan in progress for our employees to receive any additional salaries for coming to work and being at work and being essential employees.
Thank you. And Ms. Rosler, what was the amount that you were, we're going back March, April, May, is that what you were originally asking for previously?
April, May, June. The maximum amount, it would be, the maximum amount would be 46 employees. I'm not including myself in this, of course. So at 46 employees at $3 per hour, for when they are on site only, not if they're on vacation, sick leave, working from home, none of that. They have to be on site to get that additional $3 per hour. And the maximum would be about $22,000 a month. Now, that does not factor in our vacancies, and it doesn't factor in, you know, we had a couple people working from home for the first 2 months and that sort of thing. So it's, it very likely would not reach that max amount, is what I'm saying. I estimate it to be about $19,000-$20,000 per month.
Any further discussion on that topic? Since this was not necessarily on the agenda, but I know it's been discussed through emails, Mr. Gore, if the commission members wanted to take action on this, could we do so?
I think you can. And I'm sorry, I'm going dark because of the glare behind me. I got kicked out of the last room because my daughter's last day of school is happening right now. So I'm going to go dark again here, that glare. I think you can. I mean, it's something, unless there's objection. I wouldn't want to put it, you know, propose it if there's objection to moving forward with it being considered. So if everyone is comfortable with it being considered, I think that's fine, even though it wasn't on the original posted agenda. And just to weigh in a little bit on the issue of the CARES Act funding, I think, you know, my advice is if you have the vacancy savings, or if you have cash on hand to do this, I think that's a cleaner way to go. I think, especially since some of the localities said that they're already allocating their CARES Act funding and there's none for this. I just think there's too many questions whether this is eligible under the CARES Act anyway. And so we have other commission clients who have been able to fund similar, or in the process of considering funding similar sort of temporary pay increases with balances that they have accrued. And like Blue Ridge, that's largely due to the contracts that some of these regional commissions have with the state, because the, you know, the CPP program has been such a good source of revenue that's been managed well by Blue Ridge and a few others, that sort of helped give you sort of the income, you know, notwithstanding any vacancy savings. And it sort of, as a policy matter, I do think sort of from the morale standpoint of staff, I mean, we want to keep that CPP program as long as we can. And to the extent that a temporary bump like this helps staff morale, it helps us maintain good
good relations with the department and keep that program going. So, you know, that's long and short of it. I think you can take it up and consider it. And I think that my advice would be if you have the revenues on hand to fund it that way.
And so just for clarification, if the commission takes action on this, this is just for April, May, and June, correct? And or how do we want to look, or are you looking at this to go into the next fiscal year? And if so, how is that going to be funded as well? Since it wasn't included in the budget, possibly?
Right. Go ahead, Doug.
I was just going to say, my thought would be that it would be only for April, May, and June. I know that Albemarle County is not considering any recognition program beyond June. I can't speak to anybody else, obviously. And that, you know, if in fact that is supported and there is some reason to consider additional later, it'd be done after the start of the fiscal year. Also say that, you know, maybe doing a, if there's a, in this conversation, I would, and it's your call, Mr. Chair, but I don't know that it's going to be good for the employees if there's a record of a vote that's based. I'm prepared to make a motion to support it. But I don't necessarily want to put the commission, my colleagues on the commission in a bad spot. So I'm letting you, telegraphing my interest in this program, and I'm not really wanting to make a motion until I hear from others whether they want to support it or not. Those are my comments.
Any further comments from the commission?
Doug, I didn't hear the ending of what you just said. You kind of chopped out.
Oh, sorry. I'm a little wiggly. Sorry. I didn't want to put the commission members in a bad spot by forcing a vote. Prepared to make a motion in favor of the program, but I was interested in hearing from others before I do that, because if it's not going to pass, I'm not going to put a motion forward. And that's obviously anybody else can, but I'm just being transparent.
And we have two members missing. Unless Tracy, is she allowed to vote for?
Still, we had a quorum.
So yeah. It would just be us three, Doug?
Yeah, there is a quorum right now, so.
Oh, okay.
So I was originally not necessarily in favor of it, and it's not because I don't believe that staff is not deserving of this. And some of the conversations today, have light on some of that a little bit. You know, some of my original justification is currently the county county itself is not doing anything. You know, we're looking at something though, but it's definitely nothing is formal at this point. If it's coming from the CARES funding, just due to, as Mr. Gore stated, there's too much uncertainty about using those funds. And then obviously, you know, commission members have already spoken that those funds are addressed, but I could, if we're talking April, May, and June, and we're using it out of vacancy savings, and again, for clarification, what is the amount that goes to those staff members?
For clarification, it would be $3 per hour extra for whatever hours they work, which is
for any hours that staff members have been in the building.
Yeah. Well, staff, it would be 12 hours. But
is it just for non-exempt?
60 hours a month. What though?
Is that just non-exempt?
No, it's everybody that comes to the building except for myself.
Is that consistent with what the jail did, Jeff?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, I think if we were, unless Charlottesville and Albemarle have changed their mind, I think we could probably move forward with a motion if anyone wants to make a motion.
I have
go ahead,
in the previous meetings, because I certainly don't want to speak differently than what Mark had suggested. He was against the hazard pay, is that correct?
It was only a discussion by email. Our last meeting was January, and I believe I approached the commission members about this through email in maybe April. And at that time, Mark didn't feel he wasn't in favor of it at that time, due to, you know, similar reasons that everybody has stated. When I had emailed everybody and said that I wanted to revisit this, I didn't get a specific response from Mark. So I don't know where he stands with it as of today.
Currently for the fiscal year 20 budget, I mean, I'm assuming you've done projections looking at where we're going to end up for the end of the year. What's that look like?
Well, as we went over earlier, I think it looks like in salaries, we will have a vacancy savings of about 265. Total. I was going to say there's that line item that says overtime, which isn't really overtime and needs to be moved to salaries, but that was because of a Kronos glitch. So, but in total salaries, it looks like we'll be over by like about 265. Because of course I can't. Yeah, 275, 276 it looks like. Health insurance is going to come way under than what we anticipated, so that helps.
When's our next meeting?
August. July.
Why?
We're in June, right? Okay, we were supposed to be in May. We changed it to June, which means our next meeting, which was on the books already, is July 9th.
Well, that's pretty soon.
Yeah. So, and that's another thing we can talk about at the end of the meeting is, do you want to have that meeting or do you want to, or I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to be considerate of colleagues who may not be in favor and not in this meeting and give them a chance to express themselves and vote no. Does that complicate the year end if we wait till July 9th? From an accrual standpoint?
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be complicated, but I would imagine, could you not retroactively make some type of pay effective through June 30th as like a one-time?
I don't like it. Because then you might run into trouble because then it's not payroll, right?
And if I might say as well, you know, with all of you being so all over the place and extremely busy, I one of my concerns if we put this off is that at the next meeting we also won't have everybody here.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I'd like to be able to move forward with it today if possible.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, on balance, I appreciate the pros and cons here. I do support it, and after hearing the conversation, would put forward a motion that we authorize the hazard pay. I'm not sure what the title is, consistent with the methodology that was utilized at the ACRJ for the months of April, May, and June only, with funding to come from anticipated savings from staff vacancies for fiscal year at my point.
Okay, so I have a motion to approve from Doug. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
So a motion by Mr. Walker, a second by Ms. Shelton. All those in favor say aye.
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 Can I get clarification from earlier? Because Tracy, I thought you voted earlier, but then you didn't vote on this.
I don't think she's allowed to vote.
She was allowed to vote previously. I don't know if that still stands, Jeff. Gore.
I just don't know if you've been, the county's named you as an alternate, a voting alternate.
Tracy.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, Jeff. You were cutting in and out.
Yeah, I don't know if has the county. I mean, I don't have the bylaws in front of me, but most regional entities have the ability to appoint alternates to the governing bodies. I don't. Were you appointed an alternate? So are you standing in Mark's shoes? I just don't know what the county's done on that.
I don't know that they've done anything formally. I would have to check with him, but I've attended meetings in the past for him. And on this certain subject, I would vote no, because I would not want to overstep what Mark had already specified.
Then, and I'm comfortable if we just, you know, that's going to be on the record. And then, you know, I'll go back and we can get with the county and we can look at the bylaws and just make sure for the future we understand voting rights. But I mean, it doesn't change the outcome today, but it's noted on the record where Green County stands.
Yeah, good call.
Okay, I'll take her off for the vote for the minutes, because I thought Tracy voted on approval of the minutes. Maybe I missed something.
Can you put an asterisk on that, maybe? She is representing her jurisdiction. She's representing the administrator, and we can verify whether it's actual, you know, an authorized vote or not. But
it does reflect
the intention.
Thanks.
So for the commission members present, that was a vote of three in favor.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So. Next on the agenda, any matters from the commission members?
I was going to bring that up, but I don't have to.
Leticia? From Charlottesville? Any matters from the commission attorney?
Mr. Chair, the only thing I would add is that the latest that we're hearing from the Capitol is that there will be a special legislative session. It's sounding like the end of July and early August. It'll probably span a couple weeks. The primary purpose will be to make adjustments to the biennial state budget based on updated revenue numbers and forecasts as that data comes in. So as you all know, the money, for instance, for state supported local employees was unallotted, the new term in state governance, unallotted by the General Assembly at the governor's request in the reconvened session. I think that's probably just the beginning of the cuts. We'll see, but they're going to come back together at the end of July, probably early August. There could be further state revenue cuts. We don't know if that's going to impact the DJJ block grant and funding for the commission, but that's something we'll keep an eye on. We're also hearing, not directly on point, but probably won't surprise you, but also hearing that there will be part of the session will include sort of criminal justice reform, police reform type measures you've probably been reading about. So I would anticipate, which will probably make it a little longer. So I think with the budget on the agenda and probably some of those other issues, it'll be an interesting special session. And I think it'll probably be limited to those things, but we don't know yet. And so we'll just keep an eye on that for any impacts it may have on the commission's funding streams from the state.
And Jeff, when is that special session?
It hasn't been called yet, Doug, so we don't know. That we're just hearing the, you know, it's just rumor mill, but we're hearing as early as late July into early August. And we're also hearing it probably will last 2-3 weeks. So that's all I know at this point. You know, a month ago, everyone was saying September. So it just sounds like expectations are just being moved forward. But, you know, that's the best I can tell you right now.
I wonder if it might be for us to push our next commission meeting that's now scheduled for July into August, even early September, so we have the benefit of understanding better where we are with our budget.
Yeah.
With, I know, you know, an interest that I have and an understanding, you know, how we can, you know, apply some austerity to the commission's budget for the remainder of the fiscal year. So I don't know what other, you know, what other might be timely, but that'd be my suggestion as we think about moving, probably maybe into our September on the work trip.
Our after July's meeting, the next scheduled meeting would have been September 10th. So
what if we just missed July? Is there any reason to have the July meeting, just cancel it and move to go to September?
Are there any items that are upcoming that you know of that the commission needs to consider?
Not that I'm aware of at this moment. I think we've covered a lot today.
Well, Mr. Chair, then I may suggest that you cancel the July meeting, and then if something comes up, then you can request a special meeting if needed.
And just for the record, Kathy, I am filling in for John today, correct?
Yes.
I thought he was permanent.
Surprise!
I'll get my turn. So if there's no other discussion, I mean, so at this point, I guess, do we want to weigh in to see what other commission members want, or do we want to go ahead and just make that motion to cancel the July meeting? Or do we want Kathy to send out an email to all commission members to see if they have any consideration?
That sounds good.
Okay, I can do that.
And I'm sure you're going to get an overwhelming, we want that meeting.
I'm deleting it from my calendar as we speak.
Anyway, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt and the consideration.
Sure.
Sounds good.
So if there's no other items to discuss, I would consider a motion to adjourn unless there's any other matters.
I just want to state for the record, thank you for considering and approving the hazard pay. I think our staff will be very grateful for that. And so I really appreciate it.
Certainly. Motion to adjourn.
I move.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Stay safe.
Be safe.
Bye-bye.